I'll say good morning to each of you. It's good to be here with you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I was wondering if we could say that together, and those of you in your home, let's all say this together. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. What a blessing this is for those who are under the blood. Not too long ago, a sister asked if I would share with you a God moment she had in her life. Many times we look at things as just a coincidence, but she recognized it for what it really was. It was God involved. They were at a state park, and they noticed a lady that was along the shore and with her family, so they went down to talk to her. And while they just started talking, the sister's phone rang, and it was our prayer chain, and it was a prayer chain for Sister Amy. And the lady said, "Can I listen to it too?" And the sister said, "Yes, you can." And after it was over, the sister said, "Can I pray for Amy?" And right there on the shore, they prayed out loud. And so it was just, the sister saw God in there involved, getting this other lady and maybe her congregation involved in praying for Sister Amy. Coincidence? No. Is God involved? Yes. And I hope through this next year, we'll see and know and attribute to God the things that happen in our lives. Let's read from Psalm 89, verses 1 to 8. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known the faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Why don't we read verse 7 and 8 together? Let's read verse 7 and 8 together. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? At this time, let's all who are able kneel for prayer.
Certainly thank Brother Ray for his prayer on our behalf, and you for praying as well. And I thank you for your giving again to the school, and would encourage you to come next Sunday evening. Got a taste of what you're going to hear right before Christmas as the students have worked hard and have prepared, and I'll tell you what, I strongly believe that the Lord will be exalted in the singing and what's presented. So I would encourage you to come and to be a part of that next Sunday evening if you can. Howard Bean wrote of how some people feel uneasy when they think about the passage of time. For instance, once a group of young people decided to visit a novelty shop, and one girl was interested in an hourglass to add to her collection of antiques. The store clerk demonstrated one of these old timepieces, and the group stood and watched for several minutes as the tiny trickle of sand moved from the top to the bottom. I don't think I want it after all, the girl said abruptly. It makes me feel creepy to watch it. The sands keep trickling away, and you can't stop them. It makes me feel like I'm getting old. Let's get out of here. You know, the truth is that we're all getting older. Some of us would say we're getting old. And rightfully so, because time doesn't stop. And it goes quickly. And with the passing of time, things change and they get outdated. For example, in 1697, John Ogilby was a cartographer who produced one of the first road maps that would lead to printed road maps, which became a necessity for any kind of long-distance travel. Remember the printed road maps? Well, they've become pretty much obsolete nowadays. We don't need them because of the digital mapping at our fingertips. During World War I, the wristwatch was made to help soldiers and soon became the norm for everyone's wrist. And you could know the time wherever you were. But today, the wristwatch is not as prevalent, at least for adults, because we just pull out our phone and check the time. And actually, an ordinary wristwatch has turned into a smartwatch, which is a computer on your wrist. Phone booths. Some of the young people probably say, what was that? A phone booth were a groundbreaking invention, a coin-operated public telephone that was available for anyone to use if you just had a dime, or you could call collect. Most of us don't need that, of course, because we carry a phone right with us. I remember when I was driving truck and breaking down, and before the cell phone, you got out of the truck and tried to flag someone down or went to a nearby house to get help, somehow to get a telephone. Now we carry a phone. Some of you will remember diaper service, where cloth diapers were delivered to your home nice and clean, nice and folded in a bag each week. And that man, usually, I guess it was a man, usually showed up the next week, and guess what he got? You got the dirty ones. Brought you some more fresh ones. I don't even know if that's around anymore. I doubt it. And we could go on and on mentioning things like phone books. Who needs a phone book anymore? And cassette tapes, and now even CDs are going out because of all the digital. Landlines, which we're still hanging on to, a lot of you aren't, they're going out too. However, there are also some things that don't change, and they don't become outdated. There are some things that you just can't improve on, like indoor plumbing and Coca-Cola. They tried. Some years ago, they tried to improve on that, and they realized that they couldn't improve on the original. Or sauerkraut and mashed potatoes. I bet a lot of you had that this past week. You can't improve on that. You probably heard the statement, some things never change. And that statement certainly holds true with certain aspects of life. Past events or history will never change, although some try to change it. But once something is done, it's done. And there's no changing it. Acts that we do and words that we say and even thoughts that we think cannot be undone. Hugo Ezra said, and I quote, "Be careful who you make memories with. Those things can last a lifetime," unquote. Indeed, they do. We can undo the past. Some other things that never change are mathematical truths. 2 + 2 = 4, and it always will be. The area of a rectangle is length times width, and it won't change. That's always going to be. The times tables, 3 × 3, will always be 9. Fundamental laws of nature will never change, like the law of gravity. Still there, isn't it? What goes up must come down. The earth is round and always has been round, in spite of those who are strongly deceived and thinking that it's flat. Some things are always the same and remain the same. And perhaps you've met up with someone and you've asked them, how are things going? And you know what that answer is sometimes? Same thing, different day. Well, with that saying in mind, the title of the message this morning is Same Thing, Different Year. Our focus in this sermon is not on all the things that could happen or that may change this new year, whether in the world or in my own life. Rather, our focus is going to be on some things that we can count on to be the same. And there's no doubt they will remain. Number one, truth is always the same. No one will ever do away with truth. This book is truth. It has stood the test of time and of ages. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Truth is always the same. Jesus is truth. He said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on the Father but by me. Meaning that's the only way. The truth is that the only way to the Father in the heaven is through Jesus. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never change. He's constant. No one can do away with him as the truth. No matter how much people try to remove his name, he is always the truth and always will be. No matter how much we are tempted to believe a lie or to not put our confidence in Jesus, and those lies come to us through Satan. He presents lies to us so that we don't believe the truth, or that we don't put our confidence in Christ. No matter how much he does that, or we're tempted to fall in that area, we need to stay with this book of truth. And we need to keep our confidence in Jesus. Stay with him. Trust in the one who is total truth. He's the only way to heaven. And we need to hold on to his truth. He'll be faithful. Truth is always the same. Number two, there is sin that will beset us. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It is nothing to take lightly. We have to be on our guard. There is sin that, if left in our lives, will hinder us spiritually and cause us to not be successful. It will hinder us in our spiritual race. We need to, as Romans 12, 9 says, abhor, or to detest. It's an intense dislike. Well, I have that for snakes. I abhor snakes. And I'm not ashamed of it. The only good one's a dead one. That's my philosophy. Well, we are to abhor that which is evil. Intense dislike for that which is evil. And to cleave to that which is good. And it's that word cleave, like in marriage. It means to glue or to stick, to join together, to keep company. Stick together, cleave to that which is good. Keep company with that which is good, because there is sin that will beset us. That is something that will never change, no matter the year. And along with that, there will always be an ongoing battle between our flesh and the spirit. As a believer, there will always be that ongoing battle. That won't change either. An ongoing battle within us. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There will always be that battle. We'll be in that battle, and it's always true. But that's why the previous verse to verse 17 of Galatians 5, verse 16 says this, and it's so important, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We need to be walking in the Spirit and listening to the Spirit and paying attention to what the Spirit is leading us and telling us, because that battle of the flesh and the Spirit is going on within us. And we need to choose the Spirit for victory. He'll help us. He's with us. And we need to stay with Him. Because there will always be a battle going in and on inside of us. There is a sin that will beset us. That doesn't change no matter the year. Number three, the cross still, hallelujah, changes lives. The cross still changes lives. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's to them nonsense. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Those that are saved, that's hopefully all of us here. It's the power of God. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know, it's okay to glory. It's okay to boast if it's in the cross. The cross of Christ, because that's what changes lives, folks, today. It has in the past and it still does today. The gospel still saves. Someone has wrote it this way in appreciation for the gospel. It's an old, old story. But it's never been more true about a Savior and a sinner and the bridge between the two. Just an old rugged cross that paid redemption's price. And I've never been more grateful for the gospel of Christ. Have you ever been more grateful than this morning for the gospel of Christ? It says, by the grace of Jesus, I can go before the throne as one who's made worthy. By the mercy I've been shown, I can stand here unashamed, fully justified. And I've never been more grateful for the gospel of Christ. I'm grateful for the gospel. It stood the test of time. Yes, it has. The hill where Jesus gave his life. This is my favorite lines. The hill where Jesus gave his life, the place where I found mine. Did you find your life at the cross? At the hill? Huh? That's a little better. You do that, you'll warm up quicker. That's where I found my life. A refuge from the storms that rage, the rock on which I build my faith. That's the rock. I'm grateful for the gospel. You know why? Because it's the reason that I'm saved. It ain't me that's the reason. It's the gospel. The cross still changes lives. When we get before the cross of Jesus, recognizing who we truly are, and yet knowing that he still died there in our place,
Then because of his perfect sacrifice, God brought him out of that tomb, meeting complete forgiveness and victory for our lives. When we get that close to the cross, it'll change our life. If we'll let the one who hung on it do so. When trapped by sin and the guilt that it brings, you know, people try all kinds of ways to get out of it, and you know what, you've tried it and so have I. They'll try with money. If I only have a little more of it, or if I only have $1 million maybe in my bank account or assets, then I'll be free. But it leaves emptiness. People try pleasure in all its forms to get out of the trap and guilt. Again, and only to find emptiness. It takes more and more of that. And yet it's still empty. And people try drinking their way out of the trap of sin and guilt, don't they? I bet a lot tried this past week. Try drowning their troubles, but soon reality will set in again after a miserable hangover. You know, I was sick. I had this virus at the beginning of the week, last Sunday evening and a little bit into Monday. I'll tell you what, I was miserable. Why would I want to bring that on with drowning my troubles in alcohol? I don't know. But people try it. Ben Franklin said, and I quote, "No man ever drank lard into his tub, or flour into his sack, nor meal into his barrel, nor happiness into his head, nor God into his heart," end quote. That's pretty good. The only way out of the trap of sin and guilt is the cross of Jesus. It's the only way. And what he accomplished there on our behalf. The cross still changes lives, folks. And there's still power in the blood of Jesus. Always will be. These aren't my words, but they say it pretty powerfully. You may ask yourself, how can it matter? Think of this, because I wonder sometimes if this goes through our minds. You may ask yourself, how can it matter? What happened long ago at Calvary? Does it make a bit of difference? Does it mean a thing today for you and me? But I've been to the cross. I've been to the cross. And I believe there is still salvation in his name, still forgiveness in amazing grace. There's still comfort in his love and healing in his touch. There's still power in the blood. 2025, brothers and sisters, listeners, friends, there is still power in the blood. Hasn't changed. Desperate souls, that was me, desperate souls have fallen in its shadow. The saving stream still flows to all who'll come. And if you go, you will find redemption in the precious Lamb of God, his only Son, whose nailed-scarred hands reached out to everyone. There's still salvation in his name, still forgiveness in amazing grace. There's still comfort in his love and healing in his touch. Yes, there's still power in the blood. Cross still changes lives. It changed mine. Continues to change it. And there's still power in the blood. There are some things that we can count on to be the same in this changing, chaotic world. And that is that the cross still changes lives. Number four, God will be God. In a changing world, and no matter how much my life changes and yours changes and the changes that we meet up with, God will be God. That means this. Number one, God will give us new mercies for each new day. shared that with some of you throughout this week, but I want to say it again this morning. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 are familiar verses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies. Mercies is a word there that encompasses all of God's love, his forgiveness, his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And it is of those mercies that we are not consumed, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That tells me, and that means this, that God will give us new mercies for every new day. Meaning whatever I have to face today, God has given me the new mercies, the grace, the forgiveness, the goodness, his love to face it. And then I'll have that tomorrow. And if he lets me live tomorrow and the day after and so on. New mercies every day. I can count on it. So can you as a believer. What a comfort. You know, we all have some. It's not just the ones that have health issues that have uncertain futures. We do. But you all, every single person here has an uncertain future because you don't know what's going to happen. I asked that question to one of the students, I won't say who it was, Friday morning. I said, forget how I ask it anymore, if you know what's going to happen today or something, or if you have a certain future, I forget how I ask it. He answered it right. He said he don't. He was right. You know, but some of our loved ones are facing some serious stuff. I realize that. And my health concerns seem to pale in comparison to some others here in this congregation. But I will share this, that I'm not too anxious to take another kidney from another child. And I'm not too anxious to go through another kidney transplant. And I also know that the cancer that I have is life-threatening. But I know based on this scripture and based on what he's done for me in the past that he'll give Carol and me new mercies. He'll give us new mercies. Each day. So that we can live that day. God will be God. Number two, under God will be God. He will supply our needs, and dovetails with what we just said, but I didn't say he'll supply all our wants, but he'll supply all our needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It didn't say, but my God might. Maybe he will. It says, my God shall, that's a positive, supply all your need. Matthew 6:26, God feeds the birds. Brother mentioned this in our Sunday school class. You know, certainly he's going to supply us. That's what it means. That's what it says. We're talking about our God being God. These are things we know for certain. Number three, he'll carry your burdens. He says in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain. That burden there is a heavy load. You got any heavy loads? Cast them on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, which means to strengthen and support or nourish. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He wants to take our burdens. Do you know what? Sometimes we just hang on to them and won't give them over. Number four, he promises to be with you. That's already been stated. I believe Brother Clay mentioned that in some of his comments. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and or let your lifestyle be without covetousness, really what it's saying. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Did you hear anything there that sounded like he might not be with us? He said, I will never leave thee, never, 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 nor forsake thee. And because of that promise, verse 6 is ours to claim, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Because the Lord isn't going to leave me. He isn't going to leave you as a believer, nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. We need to. It means that we can trust in the Lord with confidence, for he promises to be with us. Again, these are things we know. Number five, God, or five under God will be God. God cares about you. That was mentioned too, I believe Clay mentioned that one. 1 Peter 5:7, in fact, I think you mentioned that verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares. Jeremiah 29:11 is probably my favorite verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, God speaking, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It shows that he cares. He has thoughts that he wants us to give us hope. Good thoughts toward us. God will be God. Number six, his love for you will be like no other. You think you have a great love from someone, or if, you know, I know Carol really loves me, and that's wonderful, and it's great, and it's like, it's a terrific love. But the love of the Lord is like, we can't come close to it, at least from the same level. We can try to mimic it, which we should. We still can't touch it. And how great the love of God is for you, for me. For God so loved that he gave. Gave the ultimate gift, didn't he? Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or exhibits or shows his love toward us. How? And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't even wait till we got a little better. He did it while we were sinners. Not even knowing if we would accept the offer. That's how he showed his love. 1 John 3:1, behold or know, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner of love? That we should be called the sons of God. Think about that. That's the kind of love he's bestowed upon us. We actually can be called the sons of God. Saved by grace. Wow. Number seven, he's in control. God will be God. He's in control. Not just over the world, but over each of our individual lives. Hebrews 1:3a, the beginning of it, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding, is speaking of the Lord, all things by the word of his power. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. If he can uphold them, he can certainly control them. Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hands. I remember Brother Ken's preaching a sermon. I think it was entitled that. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. Again, that the thought that God's in control of my life. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, guess what? The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In other words, no matter how much man may plan, it's not going to interfere with God's plan. Man can scheme and plan, but God executes his plan. Yes, he does. Number eight, he's going to be faithful. Just like he was in 24 and 23 and every year, he's going to be faithful in 25. Psalm 89 that was read, the scripture, there's four verses that speak of the faithfulness of God in there. Verse 1, 2, 5, and 8 speak of God's faithfulness. Then 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, and that's talking about believers. He'll establish you and keep you from evil because God is faithful. And Psalm 36, 5, I really like this thought. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches on to the clouds. That's pretty high. Did you ever go out someday and see how beautiful the clouds are? You know what? Think about it in the future. That's where the faithfulness of God reaches that high. That's how great his faithfulness is. God will do all that we've already said and more. I'm not covering everything this morning, obviously. He has to be faithful because it's part of his nature. Things that we know, God will give us new mercies for each new day. He will supply our needs. He will carry our burdens. He will be with us. He cares about us. His love for us is like no other, and he's in control, and he'll be faithful. God will be God. There's an uncertain future for each of our lives, but there are some things that we know. Some things that we do know. Truth is always the same. There is sin that will beset us. The cross still changes lives. God will be God. And one more, real quickly here. Number 5, each new day is an opportunity. Isn't it, Brother Doug? I know you believe that. Each new day is an opportunity. And that means this, that there's still time to love those that God has given us to love. And there's still time to forgive. And there's still time to make relationships right. There's still time to get right with God, because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. And there's still time to impact and bless another's life. This is all things that we know, because each day or new day is an opportunity. And there's still time to be a testimony for the Lord. And there's still time to share the gospel to that someone that God wants us to. Things we still have time for, because we know each day is an opportunity. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Time is precious. We are to spend it wisely. And again, I refer to Howard Bean, who wrote this. I quote, the greatest use of time is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Unquote. So true. Another person wrote this, time flies and we lose loved ones, parents, friends, until we realize it's too late to turn back. So let's make the most of the time we have left. Let's stop putting things off. Waiting for later means missing the best moments. Family time, friendships, experiences. Later isn't guaranteed. It's good advice. We know that each new day is an opportunity. We all have uncertain futures. We don't know what we'll face or what will happen this new year, but there are things that we do know. You know, and I believe if we focus on those things that we shared this morning and more that we know true about our Lord, if we focus on them, they will make a difference in our daily living. Truth is always the same. There is sin that will beset us. The cross still changes lives. God will be God. And each new day is an opportunity.
Dwayne, you covered a lot of ground, you know. Here's my thoughts as he was speaking. One of my favorite psalms, I think most people like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. But it doesn't say that. It says, the Lord is shepherding me. He's present and active. Another phrase that I really like is, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But it doesn't say that. It says, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me. It will chase me and overpower me all the days of my life. That doesn't change either with God. He never changes. Let's kneel before him in prayer.